Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I told my wife the show numbers are probably going to be down today because I stepped on everybody's toes yesterday by not acknowledging them as great supporters of our ministry. And I said, you know, honey, I left out some names. Should I go down there and clean them up today? And she says, yeah, then you miss a couple more. And then they'll say, even in the second round, I didn't get mentioned. So thanks to all of you out there who support what we do. Means more to us than we even know. And I'm gonna get this off. This is Flea Flicker Friday. We got 20 people in here right now, it looks like. We got room for about 20, 30 more. I'd love to have you join us. You know, a lot of you guys get in here in the morning and you never say anything. This is an open forum. We were joking before we went on the air. I said, listen, because when I came in this morning, I came in late. I got about 5 till before I got in here today. And these guys were having some back and forth about something. And I came in and said, listen, no more of this stuff. No more talking without the cult leader's approval. And they all got a good chuckle out of that. And so Flea Flicker Friday is the cult leader opening the door and allowing you to come in and throw some things on the table. Although I have some things I'd like to flick on the table as well. And I want to say this before. I got two inquiries yesterday. And I want there to be no doubt about this. I would ask everyone listening to this show to financially support David Arthur. Financially support him. Now, I don't know how long David and I've been associated with David. I don't know how long it's been. A couple months, 6 months, 7 months, 8. I don't know. It's been a while since we had him on for the first time. I've watched him in action. I've watched him one-on-one in person. I've watched him in times when he didn't even know that I was watching him. And I would just say that I, without reservation, endorse him as an arrow in the quiver of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. He won't tell you this. It's a financial struggle for him. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any retirement. He gave up his disability. He moved from Maine to Ohio, didn't have a home, didn't have any place, didn't really have anything. The Lord made all that stuff happen for him when he got here. And not only did I spend some time this weekend with him this week in Washington, D.C., and the trip out and the trip back and all that, I watched his show yesterday, and I cannot believe the anointing that is upon that brother. I cannot believe it. And I said to my wife, I was listening to David's show yesterday, which his show comes on at 9 o'clock. It comes on at 9 o'clock. If you're not part of that link, make sure you get part of it. You can watch it later. You don't have to watch it live. But I told my wife, I know men who've been Christians for 50 years that cannot divide the word of God like David. And I say that because, folks, if you cannot recognize the anointing, sometimes you see an anointing and you don't know what it is. You know something's up, but you don't know what it is. And that's because the scriptures tell us that the natural man receives not the thing of the spirit, the natural man. Neither can he. So there are many of you who are watching this show who see something on David, but not really sure what it is. And it's the anointing and the anointing of God. He posted a meme. I think I'm pretty good at memes. He posted a meme on Facebook today that blew me away. I don't even know, David, if you know you did it. And he said the only thing that can come between two homosexuals engaged in sex is Jesus Christ. I thought, are you kidding me? Uh Are you kidding? So, David, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I got two requests yesterday. David, how do they financially support you? How do they do that, David?
On the new website, thealphabetmanlive.com has a donate option, as well as on the on our regular. And it actually, yeah, that link, thealphabetmanlive.com/donate, covers everything. It has the address and the link to actually donate.
So they can go, they could go right now to thealphabetmanlive.com.
Right.
And click on a link and they could send some money your way. Yeah. And David, it would be nice if somebody sent you $50, but it would even be nicer if they sent you $50 every month. Right? Huh? Paul, let's be real here, man. You ain't got no money coming in.
Amen.
And you're trusting and you're counting on when you go speak at a church, somebody take up an offering. And I live that way, buddy. I know what that's like. And so all the thousands of you who are listening right now, I under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to financially support David Arthur. And if you're tithing in your church and you're hell bent on doing that, I ask you to pull some of that back and send it to David.
Amen.
Some of you are writing checks for $300 a week, perhaps, I don't know, to your local church. And you feel like you're obligated to do that. I would ask you this, to send them $250 and give him $50. Because I believe that you are to be supporting where ministry is going forth. Not, I don't think you're supposed to support ministry that stays inside the four walls. I don't think so. You say, well, Coach, our church we have a missionary budget. Oh yeah, what is that? About $22 a month? Is that what it is? You send us some dude over in Afghanistan? Is that your ministry budget? And the rest of it's going to salaries and computers and smoke screens and videos and all this. What is it? I'd say probably, just a second, Dale. We at Pass the Salt support David Arthur. We do. I don't know if he has any other means of support. And our support has not been, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. We've poured money into David Arthur here. We are. And we will continue to. But he needs your help. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, I'll step back up on that church thing, is that most churches will preach the tithe. But what you just said about the missionary thing, about sending the set amount to the missions, most churches don't tithe themselves. How can they demand 10% when they themselves don't give 10% back out of missions? That's what our church does. That's why you, as one of our supports, you see different amounts every single month, because sure, it depends on what comes in. So I challenge the people who do go to church, who do tithe, to go to their finance committee and say, you know, you're unbiblical by not tithing yourself. This church needs to tithe out, and it needs to go outside four walls. Of course, I believe it needs to go out more than just 10%, and we do that too. I also am excited to see that we're finalizing our schedule. And what you say about David, you know, OSA, they don't just let anybody up there and speak. And David is speaking. He has a slot with Elizabeth Johnston. And I was so excited to see that confirmed. And so that's going to be a great opportunity for David to speak into some pretty serious like-minded Christians as ourselves, and to go out there and to support him next month.
Amen, Dale. And I've always prided myself, and they say pride cometh before destruction. I've prided myself here ever since we started Path Assault Ministry. I try to get the ball into the hands of the guys who can score touchdowns with it. And David Arthur can score touchdowns. Are you folks hearing me? There's some of you, I'm looking right down the queue. There are some of you in the queue right now who need to support the work that he's doing. He left his home. He came out here and is in a place that he's refurbishing on his own. He stepped out. He started a program that he does daily, very anointed program. And I'm going to tell you something. The dude's swimming upstream, because the church wants him saved, but they don't want to hear the message. They're glad he's saved, but they don't want liberty. And David Arthur, we're going to do a show on this soon, David. David Arthur is more than about homosexuality and LGBTQRS. He's more than about the alphabet, man. David has put together a program that speaks to and works with the brokenness in all of us. Homosexuality is just sexual brokenness. Some of us are food broken. Some of us are cigarette broken. Some of us are relationship broken. We're broken in many different ways. And David Arthur is going to be able to branch beyond just the homo thing. Now, he does the homo thing so well because he's lived it and they can't argue with it. All they can do is hate him and throw stuff at him and call him an uncle sodomite or whatever they want to, but they cannot deny what it is that he's telling them. But David Arthur's ministry is more than homos. David, take a couple minutes here and explain the ministry that you're working hard to launch, brother.
The Residue program is
Residue, folks. Residue. What a word that is.
It's something that, Coach, it's something that I always called what remains in the men and women who are trying to break free. The things that they don't confess with their mouth, the things that they don't want to speak, I call it residue. And without going into the long story of how the acronym for residue came about, it was totally God. I just audibly spoke it without even thinking about it. And so it stands for remove every stronghold in depth. Undo everything. And so it's a 10-step program, but it's not a recovery program. It's a rediscovery program to rediscover our true identity, who we were created to be in Jesus. And once we do that, that's when we can become free. You know, there's many a men who have confessed things to me or in an open group with me that they've never spoke to anybody before. And once they spoke it, they were free from it. It no longer held power over them.
Amen.
So this program covers everything from lying to codependency to homosexuality, pedophilia, murder, anything, any stronghold, any addiction, any sin.
Pornography. Anything.
Everything, because until each of us, even those of us who are walking in the light, until we face everything and confess everything and get rid of that residue and discover who we were created to be. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Pastor Dale, because it's about restoration, that which Jesus came to restore. He came to restore that. And that was the restoration of men being men. And that's what it's all about. And while it's for men and women, it's not a together program. It's a separate men's group, women's group program, because that's what they need, because men share with men things that they won't share with around women, and women are the same way. But the whole program is designed to be a 12-month program. Because it takes at least 4 months for you to really establish a bond and that intimacy that men of God and women are supposed to have with one another. And so it's a 10-step program, but it's a 12-month program because it has 11 workbooks, and each step has a workbook. It's all scriptural. It's absolutely, I penned it. But the Lord authored it, because it was exactly the way he brought me out of that darkness in recognizing every single stronghold that I had.
So David, we see people who move. See, you call it residue. I call it baggage.
Yes.
They move from relationship to relationship to relationship, carrying their baggage with them. And they run out and they seek a new relationship with somebody who's also bringing residue or baggage into the relationship. There's residue from broken relationships with our children. There's residue from broken relationships with our parents. There's residue with broken relationships with our pastors. There's residue with residue is something. It's soul dust. Residue is soul dust. And we move throughout our lives with soul dust all over us. And David is saying, Shake off that sawdust. Get that sawdust off of you so that you can move and walk into the King's house. Okay, David, enough of that. Time for the commercial. I just want to say publicly, I believe in you. I believe what you do. I'll support you in everything that you do, and I call others to do the same thing. So David's show is on today at 9 o'clock, and it's not a show like this. This dude just gets preaching. How long you been saved?
Just going on 8 years, Coach.
Yeah, and see, the Lord has deposited something in you. I recognize that anointing. And I just want to be in full support of that. Cool. All right. Alphabetmanlive.com. Alphabetmanlive.com. George.
Hey, just real quick. I feel strongly there's some people out there that your calling is to be a supporter, is to be a financial supporter of the kingdom. And what Coach and David are doing is they're building the kingdom. They're not trying to build their kingdom, but Jesus's kingdom. And that's something my wife and I, we've been called, part of our calling is to be to help finance the kingdom. And, you know, a lot of these big time ministers like Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, you know, they've just twisted the giving message. But you know what? Even guys like that understand the principle of giving. And so it's just they twisted it. But the principle of giving is this. If you've been called to do it, God's going to get you the means. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. But some of you just need to step out in your calling and start giving, and you'll start seeing that you're going to give, and then you're going to get, and you're going to give, and it will never end. But it's not to get for you. It's to get so you can help build and finance the kingdom. And quite honestly, Coach, I saw this in Dan Fisher's campaign. We need more people that will step out and learn how to create an income stream so that they can help finance the kingdom, because it takes finances to do it.
George, amen, George. Amen. Now, listen, you're not supposed to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this stuff. Pastor Salt Ministries, if I were to run down a list right now of people that we have poured money into, I'm just telling you, you would be astounded. You'd be astounded. And I had somebody say to me, some of you have been here. Some of you have been in my studio. And you walk down here and you look at my studio, and I say, don't you tell anybody. Don't you tell anybody what this looks like down here, because it looks like it's multi-million dollars. And that we're just pouring out millions and millions. You've seen it, right, Roger? George, you've seen it. You've seen what
Coach,
we're broadcasting to the world.
Coach, I slept right next to it.
You did. You did. And we put money into people. That is what we do. And we put money. Listen, I'm not asking for testimony time. I'm just telling you. And I'll bet some of you right now are still going to your churches, still supporting your church, and you don't have a hoot in hell, no idea of where the money goes. No idea where it goes. Well, you contact me, I'll give you 50 names. I can tell you right now, 50. I can give you 100 names that our money goes to. Now, not every month. I'm not every month. But when we see a need, we fill it. When we see a need, we meet it. We don't say, well, brother, be filled and be warned. I pray you get it. No. And sometimes we stretch ourselves a little bit beyond what we can do. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's anybody listening right here, right now, today, that has ever asked for help from Pastor Salt Ministries that we have not given. Ever. Ever. Without any restrictions at all. Now, the restrictions would be if I know that you're blowing it, or if I know that you're not doing everything that you can to advance your position in life, then at some point we pull back and say, listen, we're here to help. We're not here to enable. And we want to help you, but you're going to have to pull your load. You pull your load as hard as you can, and we're willing to come on beside you. So I'm going to tell you this. Whatever you're giving is not wasted here. It ain't wasted here. I can promise you that. And I just throw that out there. Let's move beyond that. David Arthur needs help. He needs help. David Arthur needs more help than your local church. Some of you listen to me. Some of you got big piles of money. You got big piles. Am I sound like Jesse Duplantis yet? Some of you got big piles of money. And it'd be nothing. It'd be nothing for you to send $250 a month to us and $250 a month to David Arthur. It'd be nothing. It wouldn't even be 10%. It wouldn't. You could be giving 10% to your church, and it would be nothing to give another $250 here and $250. It'd be nothing. Well, I'm telling you, there's a need both places. Let's roll on here, boys. Let's roll on here. I told you the other day, devil's losing. And one of the things that makes it so amazing is our friends on the, what side would that be? Our friends on the Never Trump, that's both Republicans and Democrats, are panicked. They're panicked because it goes against their theology. They think it's supposed to get worse here. What's going on, Jesus? You said it'd get worse. He said it'd get worse. And it looks like maybe it's getting better, that damn Trump. Bit sarcastic. The church people there. I still see them on Facebook. Some of these guys who dug their heels in 2 years ago, never Trump. I ain't voting for Trump. And so ask yourself this. If one of the people speaking in your life was a never Trumper and still is a never Trumper, boy, you better take a good hard look at him, whoever that would be. Because they sure missed the boat. And the same, you can come here, call us a cult leader, call us whatever you want to. We were one of the first ones in the boat saying, I'm riding the Trump train. I'm riding the Trump train because there's something going on in the Trump train. I got laughed at. I got mocked at. I had people make fun of me. So you shall know them by their fruit. God's doing something. And he can do it through whomever he chooses to do it. And some of you holier-than-thou prophets out there that dug your heels in and wouldn't support Donald Trump and still won't support Trump, you won't support him for one reason, your pride. You don't want to admit you were wrong. Hey, I'm not the whistle for the Trump train, okay? I'm not the whistle. But can you imagine where we would be if Hillary would won and the two Supreme Court justices she would be appointing? America would be over, baby. It'd be over.
Coach, it's like it's just like a football game. We've got to watch Trump and the things going on with his anointing, because he is truly anointed. We've got to go on a scoring run. And we've just hung 35 on the other team.
We did, baby. We did. And my old coaching philosophy, when you score a touchdown, you get a turnover and you score another one. And now is the time to double down. They're going to try to block this Supreme Court justice. They're going to do everything they can to block him. You guys know this, right? This is stinking war. This is war. And I'm going to tell you, I trust Donald Trump's judicial appointments far more than I would ever trust George Bush, George W. Bush, or Barbara Bush. I trust him far more than that. And can I tell you why I'm going to? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to get into it. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get into it. Why? Because there's a funny element going on in the life of Donald Trump that I think we could learn something from. And that is vengeance.
Preach it.
I am. Because I was on the phone yesterday with my new good friend who checks in with me every day and sends me stuff to squirt in my mouth and send him, go buy this and go buy my new good friend, Victor. I was on a conversation with him and I had an epiphany. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to lay this on the table right now, and I ain't never heard this anywhere. There's nothing new under the sun, so I'm sure it's been preached, but I ain't never heard it. So I'm going to lay it on the table. Jared, let's go to the stuff here. I know this is Flea Flicker Friday. I know, but I got something. I got some stuff I got to show you. Get my computer. Jared, go to stuff. Like my computer's is misbehaving today. I can't get it to open up. Come on, there, dude. Let me reset it. See, I can't even. It won't even blank out for me here. Jared, let's go to, first of all, Jared, Let's go to, I got to see it so I take us the right way. Let me try it on this computer. Let me reduce that thing down there. Now, see, Jared's got me real good. There, it's working. All right, my other one jumped back on online here, got going here, I think. There we go. Okay, Jared, a little bit of life popping up over here. A little bit of life. I restarted this thing this morning anyway. Did you guys see? I think I shared this with you yesterday. I'm waiting for my computer. This is a stalling tactic. Jeffrey Toobin yesterday, one of the CNN's experts, Jeffrey Toobin said yesterday that abortion is going to be illegal in 20 states within 18 months. I want to speak to that. Here, I got it up on this other screen now, Jared. Okay, good. I want to speak to that. Jared, let's go right here. Let's go to Webster. No. Jared, let's go to Psalm 98 real quickly. Let me see. I know there's a way to make these two screens one screen here. Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I'm going to show you something. I believe it was an epiphany. It may not have been to you. It was an epiphany to me. Psalm 94. Okay. Now I'm getting my computers are screwing me over here, boys and girls. I can't figure out what's going on. I'm going to try to close this one down and see if we can get back there. Psalm 94. We have it up there, Jared? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm distracted because this other computer is starting to work. You guys better sit down because you can run to all your friends and say, this guy's really going off the edge now. This guy's really, really a cult leader now. You ready? Psalm 94. Oh, Lord God. Hey, Jared, how many verses is this? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. Can you tell me how verses? Okay, I don't want to go that many. Let's just start down through this, because I'm going to show you something. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast all over CNN and MSNBC? How long, O Lord, are you going to let that go? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and they afflict your heritage, the children. They slay the widow and the stranger, and they murder the fatherless. Is this unbelievable? Is this unbelievable? They murder the fatherless. Everything that we saw last week when you were in Columbus is right here. Yeah, they say the Lord shall not see it, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear shall not hear. He that formed the eye, he's not going to see this stuff. He that chastises the heathen, he's not going to correct them. He that teaches men's knowledge, he shall not, he know. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they're all vanity. And blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of the law, that thou may give us him rest for the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. His children are his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. And who will rise up for me against the evil doers? And who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slipping, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. And in the multitude of my faults within me, thy comfort delights my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? Look at this. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with politicians and Supreme Court justices and CNN and MSNBC, who frameth mischief by making it law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and he shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yeah, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Okay. Here it comes. I went dead over here. I'll get it back up here. I want to go to Psalm. Bear with me a second. I'm taking you somewhere you've never been. Never heard this in my life, and I'm not saying I'm the greatest teacher that ever came down the road, but I know what the Lord spoke to me through Victor. Go to Romans 12, Jared. Romans 12. And let's land at verse 17. Right there. Recompense. Repay no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men. If it be possible, sometimes it may not be possible, Roger, I think, if it is possible, which means sometimes it's not possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Oh, my goodness. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay. So I said, Lord, I'm missing something here. The Lord, how are you going to repay the wicked? I said, well, I'm having this conversation back and forth in my head. Well, he's going to repay the wicked by putting them in jail. His vengeance is going to be them going to hell. And I said, no, that's not right. God doesn't send people to hell out of vengeance. He sends people to hell out of justice. Justice. He's not vengeful. So if he's going to judge the wicked, as I've just saw here, if he's going to bring recompense upon the wicked, as I just saw here, what does that mean? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And if judgment is not vengeance, what is vengeance? So I said, hey, Webster, help me out here. I went to Webster's 1828 dictionary. I hope you're sitting down. Vengeance. Are you ready? The infliction of pain upon another in return for an injury or offense. Hey, boys and girls, when you go to hell, when the Lord sends you to hell, that's justice. He's not inflicting a pain on another in return for an injury. God's not saying, oh, yeah, well, you hurt my people, go to hell. No, he said you were born in your sin. And because of your sin, justice is you're going to go to hell. I gave you a way out. You didn't take it. Books are just. Your payment is hell. So what's vengeance? Such infliction, when it proceeds from malice or more resentment and is not necessarily for the purpose of justice, is revenge and a most heinous crime. Wow. When such infliction proceeds from a mere love of justice and the necessity of punishing offenders for the support of laws, it is vengeance and is warrantable and just. Wow! In this case, vengeance is a just retribution, recompense, or punishment. In this latter sense, the word is used in Scripture and frequently applied to the punishments inflicted by God on sinners, and we're not talking about hell. To me belongeth vengeance and repayment, Deuteronomy 32:5. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, not hell, not hell. Hell's judgment. Justice. With a vengeance in familiar language signifies with great violence or vehemence, as you strike one with a vengeance. Formerly, what a vengeance was, what a vengeance was a phrase used for emphasis. By what a vengeance makes these fly. Okay, so vengeance is the Lord's. And what is vengeance? Well, vengeance is something that's due for something you've done. That's vengeance. Vengeance is a good thing. And it belongs to the Lord. So I said, okay, then how about revenge? How about revenge? This way my mind works. Lord, what's revenge then? Because we're never supposed to try to get revenge. And revenge is, it says, to inflict pain or injury in return for an injury received. You did that to me, I'm going to do this to you. That's revenge. Note, this word used to be avenge. And was formerly used as synonymous, and is so used in the common version of Scripture applied to the supreme being. Oh, Lord, revenge me of my persecutors. Jeremiah 15. In consequence of a distinction between avenge and revenge, which modern usage has introduced, the application of this word to the extreme being appears extremely harsh, irreverent, and offensive. Revenge is now used in an ill sense. For the infliction of pain maliciously or illegally, avenge for inflicting just punishment. According to modern usage, to inflict pain deliberately and maliciously, contrary to the laws of justice and humanity, in return for injury, pain, or evil received, to wreak vengeance spitefully on one who injures or offends. We say to revenge an insult or injury or insult, or with the reciprocal pronoun to revenge ourselves on an enemy for an injury, that is to take vengeance or satisfaction. 3, to vindicate by punishment of an enemy. Gods are just and will revenge our cause. So revenge is a return of injury, the deliberate infliction of pain or injury on a person in return for an injury received from him. So in other words, revenge is getting even. Am I doing okay here? Are you guys following this? Because I'm not done yet. So we know what vengeance is. Vengeance is bringing people due punishment for what they've done. Justice is doing what's right and just. You go to hell because that's justice. But you are avenged, or vengeance comes in this life now for what you've done. Stay with me. So I said, okay, Lord, what about to avenge? I've heard of that. What does that mean, to avenge? And then I find out there isn't any avenge, but there's an avenger. There's an avenger. What's an avenger? One who avenges or vindicates. A vindicator. A revenger. God is an avenger. He gets even. It's vengeance. God does that. Not me or you. We don't do that. But don't miss this. He does it here now. It's not to hear by and by. That's justice. That's justice. That's not vengeance. And one more. Jared, I said, okay, Lord, vengeance, revenge, avenger. Well, if hell isn't vengeance, then maybe hell's justice. What's justice mean, Jared? The virtue which consists in giving to everyone what his is due. Practical conformity to the laws, to principles of rectitude in the dealings of men with each other. Justice is honesty, integrity in commerce, or mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers. And consists in distributing to every man that right or equity which the laws and principles of equity require, or in deciding controversies according to the laws and to the principles of equity. Commutative justice consists in fair dealing and trade and mutual intercourse between man and man. Now, I get to go to heaven because why? Jesus, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, well, I was a whosoever. And then over here is a whosoever not. And both of us whosoevers had the opportunity to choose yes, yes, grace, mercy, or no, grace, mercy. So we made the choice, and the justice is, okay, dude, that's what you chose, that's what you get. He's a just. He's just. He's not going to interpose, make you do something you don't want to do. Two, justice is impartiality, equal distribution of right and expressing opinions. God saved some. There's some guys who go to church and say prayers and read from the Bible and direct a choir, and they're on the elder board, and they're lost as a pope. And then there's David Arthur, who goes out and does all this debaucherous stuff, and David Arthur receives grace and mercy. And Brother Perfect over here, he doesn't receive it. And why doesn't he receive it? Because the salvation was available to both, and this scumbag Arthur chose it, and this holier-than-thou elder didn't. It's justice. The holier-than-thou elder is going to hell. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. David, you worker of iniquity. You're now my adopted son. I know you. It's justice. It's equal for all who will. Hang on, I'm about done. Wow, this is so good. Equal distribution of right and expressing opinions, fair representative facts respecting merit or demerit, in criticism, narrations, history, or discourse. It is a duty to do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. Justice! Not grace, not mercy. Do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. Equity, agreeableness to right, as he proved the justice of his claim. This should, in strictness, be justness. Vindictive retribution, merited punishment. Sooner or later, justice overtakes the criminal. Right application of equity. His arm will do him justice. A person commissioned to hold courts or to try and decide controversies and administer justice to individuals as the Chief Justice of the King's Bench or of the Common Pleas in England, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, and Justices of the Peace are to administer justice. Okay. So what are you saying, Coach? Well, I'm going to say this. God brings justice and vengeance through his people. Heaven and hell is an entirely different matter. You come to heaven, you come to faith, you come to entering into the kingdom through faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is it. That's the only way you do it. That's a non-changing system of justice. But we are taught in the church that we are not to bring vengeance on the wicked. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Somebody show me where I'm wrong. Come on in.
Well, that's not why the Bible teaches.
But I can point a different direction to look at it, and that's back in Psalm 94 where you started. And it talks about God will reward those. You know, that word reward from the Old Testament, there's only three times the particular Hebrew word or Aramaic word for reward that's used in that verse 2 there. There's only three times in the Old Testament that Hebrew word is used. And it does not mean a physical reward, as we think of the word reward, like if you find a lost dog, somebody gives you a reward.
Look that one up, Jared. Go to Webster's and look up reward. Keep going, Larry.
And the word reward in this and only two other verses in the Old Testament comes from a Hebrew word that means treatment towards for good or ill. It's treatment, not a physical reward, not a physical thing. It is the way God treats people for good or ill.
Hence, when good is returned for good, reward signifies to repay, to recompense, to compensate. When evil or suffering is returned for injury or wickedness, reward signifies
to punishment with just retribution, to take vengeance on according to the nature of the case. So that's what Larry's saying. Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. He's not giving you a badge. He's not giving you a poster. It, reward is recompense or equivalent return for good done, for kindness, for service, and the like. Rewards may consist of money, goods, or any kind of kindness or happiness. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Great is your reward in heaven. Rewards and punishment presuppose moral agency and something voluntarily, scroll up, Jared, something voluntarily done, well or ill, without which respect, though we may receive good, it is only a benefit and not a reward. The fruit of men's labor or works is the reward. The dead know not a thing, neither have they any more a reward. A reward is a bribe, a gift to pervert justice, a sum of money offered for taking or detecting a criminal for recovery of a lost thing. Punishment, a just return of evil or suffering for wickedness. My goodness. My goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
What a great encouragement this teaching is, because I can speak for myself, and I would imagine most people are in the same boat. You know, we're looking at the justice and vengeance that we haven't seen come into fruition with these criminals and scumbags like the Clintons, et cetera, right?
Right.
And how encouraging this is, because sometimes we look and we go, why is Jeff Sessions not doing this, and why is Trump not doing this? But you know what? What you're reading this morning, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's God doing it. When God has started the train in motion, nothing will stop it, and he'll use whom he chooses to execute it. This we can be sure of, that the judgment and vengeance will come. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Here, buddy, it's coming here. We're going to see it. It says we will receive, we will see the reward of the wicked. That's what the scripture says. Go ahead, Jared.
And to those people who are watching who, you know, say that they're right and they're wrong and all this thing, just look at these different words that Coach brings forward. And these words, nowadays, reward has a positive inclination, okay? You think in words, okay? This is a neutral word. This is a neutral word, and yet now we think about it, and it has a positive element to it. And there's other words that were good or neutral that have been given a negative. So if you don't think you're brainwashed, you're wrong.
Hey, Jared, look at this. Deuteronomy 32:41. It's right there on the screen. I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. Is that unbelievable? You gonna reward him? Yeah, he's gonna reward him. He gonna pat him on the back for what they.
That's a perfect example of what I was pointing out. The Deuteronomy one is a totally different word for reward, and it means a recompense for something done. In other words, it's not the treat, how you're treated because of what you did. It's what you receive because of what you did. Two different things.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so listen, I got to show you this video. Jeff, down at the bottom. I'm sorry, Jared. I don't know why I keep calling you Jeff. Down at the bottom, it says the left. This is only a minute long. And see, listen, here, boys and girls, here's the reward of the wicked. They are eating themselves. They are their own God. They understand everything that's going on. I hope I can get what I want to get in here in the next 10 minutes. And I've told you a million times, I ain't Republican. It ain't even about that. I want you to watch this. And you want to tell me, do these people really think they're going to win? Or is the Lord right now exposing them and playing them, rewarding their foolishness? Go ahead, Jared. 1 minute.
A few years ago, ideas that we talked about were thought to be fringe ideas, radical ideas, extremist ideas. Those ideas are now mainstream.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station. You get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
One way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy, so please bring on the recession.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Now, boys, I want you to understand something. We are seeing the destruction of my father's Democratic Party. It's right. By the way, we're seeing the destruction of the Republican Party too. But I'm going to tell you something. My brother, my dyed-in-the-wool Union Democrat brother, ain't voting for that crap. I can promise you. And the backbone of the Democratic Party has been forever white union workers. That has been their group. And I'm going to tell you, you go to any small town here in America, you come to Hebron, Ohio, you come to Zanesville, Ohio, and you go sit down in a cafe, they ain't for that crap. We are seeing the reward of the wicked right before our very eyes. Not in the by and by. We're seeing it right before our very eyes. They have lost their stinking minds. Somebody come on in here. I got something else I want to pull up.
Coach. Brother, yep. This is, you know me, courts don't make laws. Going back to how important this Supreme Court justice pick is, and it's not just about what Donald Trump picks, because remember, Anthony Kennedy was given to us by Ronald Reagan. I mean, we think that this was the greatest president of all times, and he gave us Kennedy. But, you know, my sin is something I have to deal with God, my action. The Supreme Court is the one that rendered the Roe versus Wade. This thing is on them. The same Supreme Court in 1857 on the Dred Scott also had to render that. And look what it caused in America. This thing, I have this article on the RU-486. Russell Eucliffe said, he's the founder of the 4U-86. He says, I'm not selling the RU-486 to America. He says, because America is on the verge of a civil war over abortion. And brother, imagine Donald Trump putting a evangelical Supreme Court justice in there, not to mention, I think, propped up Weekend at Bernie's Ruth Nader Ginsburg. Her days are numbered. Imagine Roe versus Wade being overturned because the same ungodly decision made by unjust law made by the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court comes back and corrects that. Imagine what will happen in the streets of America.
Amen, brother. Because, see, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. The Lord is unveiling and revealing truth even to the lost. They're seeing things they have never seen. My brother, my Union Democrat brother, would be crawling under his sofa watching Maxine Waters. Jared, I'm running short on time. 12 genders. Click on that, Jared. Click on that.
Coach, I'm one of them people who didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I can promise you if the elections were held today, I would be voting for Donald Trump.
Amen. Amen. Okay, the LSAT, this is like the SAT, ACT for getting into law school. Look at this. The LSAT provides 12 different gender identity options, including genderqueer, unsure, and demigender. Go down there. So you fill out the information to take out the LSAT to get into school. And here are your choices: agender, androgen, demigender, queer, gender fluid, man, transgender man, non-transgender, questioning or unsure, woman, transgender woman, and additional gender category. Fill in the blank. Plus, prefer not to answer. Boys, this is law school. These are the guys who are going to make the law. Do you see what's going on? Now, I'm not done. Jared, let's go too quickly. Oh, I'm running out of time. I need a month here today. Go to abortion. No, go to homo indoctrination. You ready for this one? Right. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's showing up, man. that he proves that LGBT indoctrination at school is working. Huh? Yeah, right. Scroll down there, Jared. Scroll on down. Let's look at the numbers. The number of American children identifying as lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, or confused is surging across the nation, according to the newly released study by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. The trend comes as government schools push homosexuality and gender confusion more aggressively in an earlier ages. According to the CDD survey, known as the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance, almost 15% of teenagers last year were labeling themselves gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. For perspective, 2 years ago, that was about 11%. In 2015, it was about 9.8%. Last year, that number surged to 13%. So whatever you legalize, whatever you normalize, you get more of. Do we understand this? Do you understand why when we went to the homo parade, there were more homos, more young ones coming? The homosexuality and confusion was also strongly correlated to other problematic, legal, and sinful behaviors. 12% had driven a car after smoking pot. Another, among self-described homosexual or unsure children, the number was over 42%. Sexual experimentation, promiscuity are also far more prevalent among self-described homosexuals, as was drinking alcohol prior to age 13. The left is eating our children! Come on, church! Come on in here.
Hey, coach. That, my God, clearly says he hates the workers of iniquity, because iniquity...
You're breaking up, George.
Making legal. You said, well, becomes legal, becomes more abundant, and that's the licensing of sin is iniquity.
You ought to take this survey and hand carry it into your pastor. Hand carry it to your pastor. Say, look what's happening to our kids because of what they're doing in our government schools. That's what you ought to do.
Yes, but we can. It's a mission field for the kids, Dave.
It sure is. And they'll be lining up for butt marriage before you know it. That little kid that you had in school, he's going to be lining up for butt marriage.
Let's put that lie to bed. If that's the mission field, then why aren't we bringing them to the clinic? Why aren't we bringing them down to the Southern Decadence parades? Why aren't we bringing them all these other places? Oh, we want to shelter children from that. Oh, but you want to turn them over to the public schools where all this crap is being taught. No, the scripture is clear. Parents, rear your children up the fear of the admonition of the Lord. It's not the public school. And if the church would do what it's supposed to do, get their kids out of there and teach them themselves, public school would fail and fall.
So Donald Trump, listen to me. Don't you miss this. You ready, Kyle, Right Wing Watch? God brought Donald Trump, in my opinion, because the average Christian man don't have the stones to avenge on behalf of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Coach, if those parents who say, oh, my child can be a light in that darkness in the public school, if those parents weren't hiding behind their children, if they really wanted the light in the darkness, they would be in the doors of those public schools. They would be in the school board meetings. They would run for school board. They would be out there. They would be the light. No, they're hiding behind their kids, and they're saying, okay, you go be the light. It's disgraceful.
They're hiding behind their money, Larry. They don't want to lose their money. David Arthur posted, a high school in Maine went from 4% to 56% of the students that identify as LGBTQ questioning in 2 years, 4% to 56%. Hey, fellas, the war's right beside us. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And the Lord, I hate to tell you this, is going to use his people to be the avengers. We are going to be the avengers. That's what's going on. Listen, tonight, 7:30, Hagman and Hagman. It'll be on for a half hour. Tune in. God bless you. Have a great weekend. See you Monday morning. Since